And now, Everything for the Boys, starring Ronald Colman, is brought to you by transcription.
From Hollywood, California, and an Allied base facing the invasion coast of Europe, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air starring Mr. Ronald Colman, his guest, Bob Burns. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Your host, Mr. Ronald Colman.
Thank you and good evening. We have with us tonight a man known and loved from coast to coast, the philosopher of Van Buren, Arkansas, genial gentleman, American wit, and bazooka player extraordinary. Tonight, however, Bob Burns comes to us in the role of actor in a memorable play about a strange legacy bequeathed to you and to me. After the play, Bob Burns and I will have some assorted and, I feel, somewhat unpredictable conversation with a young American ranger who is waiting to speak to us from a base facing the soon-to-be-invaded shores of Hitler's Europe. But first, we offer this radio dramatization by Arch Oboler of A Man to Remember. Men and women of the United States Armed Forces abroad, we salute you.
What makes a man a soldier? Well, I'd say a land he loves and the equipment to defend it with. 10 million Americans have pledged their lives to defend the land they love. And to help keep our America free, the rest of us have pledged our resources and our labor. The men and women in Autolite's 22 great manufacturing plants throughout the United States and Canada are helping us to make everything for the boys. Firing control apparatus, aviation instruments, autogyro compasses, torpedo directors, automatic pilots, and more. They are speeding the production of Autolite batteries, spark plugs, and electrical systems for use on the land, in the air, and on the sea. Autolite units form the lifeline of electrical energy in thousands of tanks, planes, and boats, and have proven dependable in the call of duty. Now, here at home, millions of car owners depend on Autolite equipment to help their cars run for the duration. If your car is becoming war-weary, check its lifeline. Perhaps all it needs is a new Autolite battery, spark plugs, or Autolite parts in its electrical system. Any one of the thousands of Autolite service stations, your local car dealer or serviceman will be glad to help you care for your car for your country. The play, A Man to Remember. The players, Mr. Ronald Colman and his guest, Bob Burns.
I have before me a man's estate. This man lived for over 70 years. He had a full, busy life. And since he left behind him no last will and testament, it's both interesting and important that we examine his legacy, since what he left behind is the common inheritance of all of us. So, let's examine and evaluate the worldly goods that have been bequeathed to you and me by one John Abbott. First, we have a board about a foot and a half long by 6 inches wide, and on it is painted, with a most uneven hand, the words, Dr. John Abbott. It's a weather-beaten little signboard, weary with the sun and rain of many years. All right, one signboard, then, that now belongs to you and me. What's that? You want to know its value?
Well, here it is, Doc. All painted up nice and pretty. I figure it should be worth about, say, 50 cents.
Well, Sam, that seems like a fair price.
I put 2 hours' work on it, Doc. Now, you're sure you don't think it's too much?
No, no.
I tell you what I'll do, Doc. Seeing as you're just starting in this town, I won't take any cash money from you.
Well, now, Sam,
you just put it on the books, Doc, and next time I get Quincy or fall off the barn roof, you just fix me up. All right, Doc?
Well, all right, Sam.
Doc, do you mind if I ask you something?
Professional or social, Sam?
Well, How come you came to this town, Doc? We got doctors here already, you know.
Well, I thought maybe there might be room for one more if I didn't put on much weight.
You won't, Doc. You won't. They got lots of kids, the folks on this side of the tracks, but eating money is something stock don't bring. Hang up your sign now, Doc.
Well, there's our first answer. One signboard, value, new, 50 cents. Now, what's next in our inheritance? Here we have a crumpled, dog-eared dollar bill. No, it's a $2 bill. Redeemable at the United States Treasury, the inscription says, for two silver dollars. The value of this part of our legacy, then, is quite apparent. One United States Treasury note, value $2.
£5. There you are, Emma. Scale says £5 even. I'm a best shitter. Will there be anything else?
There sure is, Homer. Seeing as I'm not going to pay for it, take that hand of yours off of the scale.
You sure have a happy sense of humor, Emma.
And you sure have a heavy hand, Homer. Well, I don't bear grudges. How's your wife? Did Doc Abbott take out the stitches yet?
Nope, but she's fine. She's fine. Got out of bed and did a little washing yesterday.
Well, if I do say so myself, he's a wonderful doctor, that man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know what?
Well, he's been here 2 years and he ain't saved a cent.
How do you know?
Anybody knows, I should. Why, he's run up a great big grocery bill, $12.
Do tell.
I keep saying to him, Doc, you got to be a businessman to get along. Find out what folks can pay you. Yeah. Speaking of angels and devils, here he comes now.
Land safe! What's that carrying? It's a pig? A pig!
Now, don't say that quite so loud, Miss Emma. This is a very sensitive animal. You see, he don't know yet he's a pig.
Doc, you're the one.
Now, look here, Doc Abbott. What's it all about? That your pig?
Nope, it's yours.
Doc, you're crazy.
Nope. You say you sent me a bill this morning. It was marked please remit. I figured you must be kind of hard up, so I hurried right down.
Ain't he cute? Looks like my first husband.
Madam, it must have been a great loss to you.
You're cute too, Doc.
Now look here, Doc. I can't take a pig in payment.
But Homer, that's what my last patron gave me.
Go ahead and take it, Holman.
Okay. How much was the bill?
You know, $12.
That pig ain't worth more than $5.
Hey, come to think of it, Homer, I believe you owe me money right now.
What?
Your wife's appendix, remember? Here's my bill.
Pay up, Homer. Pay up.
Emma Hansen, now you got your groceries, so get. Just plain get.
Well, that's a fine way to talk to our cash customer. Good day to you. And keep your groceries.
You shouldn't lose your temper, Homer. Be calm like your pig here. Look, he's gone to sleep.
Never you mind about me. This bill here, Doc. How much time did the operation take?
Oh, about 4 hours, I should judge.
And you're asking me $100? Now, look here, Doc. Let's get down to facts.
Sure. The facts are that you're a prosperous businessman and that your overworked wife would have died if I hadn't performed that emergency operation on her on your kitchen table.
Well, I don't mind paying a just fee, but $100 for 4 hours, that's pretty steep.
Homer, I did 4 operations last week for folks who didn't have any money.
But, Doc, $100. I won't pay it.
You really mean that?
You bet I do.
Well, what do you pay your janitor here?
50 cents an hour. Why?
Well, I guess I made a mistake in figuring your bill, Homer.
That's more like it.
Yep, the only place we differ is the value each of us puts on your wife. I was a mite too high, so I'll settle right now for 50 cents an hour. $2 cash.
Now, Doc, I didn't mean that you should do anything.
Homer, shut up. Give me $2, and you got a bargain at that. You'd have had to pay a grave digger for 6 hours.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now come to the third item in this legacy that has been bequeathed to us. I must confess it's a rather unexpected object in that Dr. John Abbott was many years past military age, and yet here it is among his belongings.
a medal, given by the United States government to soldiers wounded on the field of battle. I have here a medal of the Order of the Purple Heart. Its value?
My dear son, I went to the mailbox as usual this morning, expecting to find a few tired bills. Instead, Frank, I found your little gift for me. It's a beautiful medal, son. I stood there with the mailbox, holding it in my hand, and the sun shining off of it was so bright, my eyes kind of filled with tears, and I couldn't see it. All I could see was you, son, down there in the South Pacific. A hero. A real one. And I started thinking about that day you and I were out in the backyard talking about heroes. I guess you must have been about 14 years old then. Remember that day, Frank? Remember?
I'm okay, Doc. Honest, I'm okay.
Then why don't you go play ball with the rest of the boys?
Oh, I don't want
to. The sun's shining, the birds are singing. There's no wind. Perfect day for your curve ball. And you don't want. You do need to tell. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't this report card day?
Yeah.
Let me look at it, son.
I tore it up.
As bad as that?
Oh, gee, I don't know what's the matter with me. I guess I'm a flop.
Algebra. How much you make in algebra, son?
60.
Latin?
60.
Deportment?
60.
American history?
30.
Well, at least that breaks the monotony. What happened in history?
Oh, so it's 1492 or 1496 or half past 1776. What's the difference?
Well, son, in a way you're right. And in a way you're wrong. It isn't the dates that matter. It's the people. Later on, when you're older and you begin to think that yours are the biggest troubles in the world, then you begin to think about fellas like Lincoln and Washington and Thomas Paine and... No, that's one thing I'm not going to do, son, as long as you stay here. I mean, pull my beard and give you lessons.
It's okay, Doc. I've got to learn.
Thanks, son. Thanks. Well, who's that pulling up in front of the gate? We're being honored. Our alderman, great lover of politics and beer. Behave as nicely as possible, Frank.
Okay, Doc.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Allman? This is a surprise.
No surprise at all, Doctor. I told you I'd be here, and here I am. The council passed a resolution, unanimously, mind you, condemning your adoption of delinquent boys from the city.
Say what?
A resolution. In plain English, they believe that your practice of bringing these reform school children into our township is detrimental to the public good.
Frank, boy, you better go in the house.
No, please. Please, let me stay.
All right, son. Now then, Mr. Alderman.
Now, there's no reason for anger.
Of course not. I know you've explained everything to me so completely. Bringing these reformed school children into our township is detrimental to the public good. Oh, yes, I heard you. But is there no decency left in you? In any of us? Can children be in trouble any place, and we stand by and say it's detrimental to our good?
Oh, Abbott, look here. If you're a fool, I'm not. For 20 years, you've been the good Samaritan of this town. You haven't been a doctor. You've been a public welfare institute. All right. What's it got you?
All right. What's it got? You got me a son. Frank here is going to be a good American because he's going to get a chance to grow with his head up. A chance to make mistakes and learn by them. A chance to be loved and give love.
I say it again. Our first duty is to our own.
Our own? Sure. Every kid everywhere, any place in the world is our own. Every kid in trouble is our own because, mister, maybe in a few years we're going to need these children to help us back to a decent world.
One item is left of the worldly goods of one John Abbott. It's, yes, a ribbon. A ribbon, such as is used by small girls in tying up their braids. Or a ribbon sometimes used around scrolls and diplomas. One ribbon. Value?
Now, be a good cat and take yourself a nap. I can't help it, Plasma. I just haven't got any more left. That's right. Sleep. It's a good day for just resting. Sun warm. Look down the street. Why, you could think the whole world was resting. Couldn't you, Plasma? Oh, I don't know about that. Used to be kind of nice with the young ones riding up and down in their jalopy, showing off to the girls. Stop boasting. I know you do all right. Yes, I sure would like to see the boy again. Plasma, do you think those army docs down in the South Pacific would mind if I sent him a convalescent diet? Sure wish I could airmail him a chocolate soda. Now, who in the world is that?
Hello, Doctor. Mind if we come up to talk to you?
Why, hello, Reverend. Come right ahead. Scat, Plasma. Go away. We got important visitors. Reverend Grayson and Mr. Clark. And doggone if it isn't the mayor. Well, now, what have I done wrong now?
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's sure nice of you to come visiting.
No. Don't get up. Doctor, I'm a man who's spoken many words in his life, but these words are ones that don't come easily.
Bad news, the boy you heard from, a boy.
No, take it easy, Doc. This hasn't anything to do with Frank. It has to do with us.
Us?
For many years, you've been among us.
Never making any money.
Yes. As Mr. Clark says, never making much money because the people who were your patients didn't have much money to give you. But you kept on because that's the way you were. Yesterday, at a mass meeting of many people, we voted on the man who had meant the most to this town and the war effort. The people chose you, Doctor. They chose you because all these years you, almost alone, have been the one around here who knew that nothing really mattered except living and acting as if people everywhere were part of your own family. I have here a scroll. It's a letter of thanks for all you've done. It's got 6,000 signatures on it, Doctor. Almost every man, woman, and child in town. It's just to let you know that we love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we better be going.
Yes, indeed.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Reverend.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Goodbye, Mayor.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye. Letter of thanks from me. 6,000 signatures. 6,000 signatures. Mrs. Ann Hayward?
You saved my baby, remember, Doctor?
Fred Jorgensen?
You came to me through that storm, remember, Doctor?
Freddie Eastman?
You made it stop hurting me, remember, Doctor?
Mary Conley.
You gave me the money. Remember, Doctor?
Remember, Doctor?
Roy
remember,
Newton. Doctor? George Rossetti. Floyd Foster. Carl Hoffman. Ella Newton.
Friends, that ends this resume of a man's estate. This man lived for over 70 years. He had a full, busy life. And since he left behind no last will and testament, these items I've told you about are the common inheritance of all of us. Item, one weather-beaten little signboard. Value new, 50 cents. Item, one crumpled United States Treasury note. Value, $2. Item, one medal of the Order of the Purple Heart. Value, unknown. Item, one ribbon from a scroll. Value, 1 cent, perhaps. So, your total cash inheritance from the estate of John Abbott is $2.51. $2.51. I think you'll agree this is an inheritance and a man to remember. have just heard Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest, Mr. Bob Burns, in A Man to Remember, dramatized for radio by Arch Obolus. The special musical score was arranged and conducted by Mr. Gordon Jenkins. While our Autolite transatlantic hookup is being set up for Mr. Coleman and Mr. Burns to speak to the American Ranger, to whom tonight's play was dedicated, Mr. Coleman has a word for you who fight on the home front.
In a few moments, we move out across the ocean to bring back with us the voice of an American boy standing on the English coast overlooking Hitler's fortress of Europe. In that same England during the summer of 1940, when Nazi bombs were pouring death and destruction on the people of London town, another American boy, not long out of Rugby School, stood and watched one night. His name was John Gillespie McGee, Jr. Marveling at the heroism of the handful of Spitfires fighting against overwhelming odds, he enlisted with the Royal Canadian Air Force and soon became a skilled pilot. John McGee was also a very promising young writer, having won the same poetry prize awarded to the soldier poet of the last war, Rupert Brooke. Today, when the sound of the wings of the United Nations is bringing hope to the world, I would like you to hear something he wrote. He explained in a letter to his family at the time that it was mostly composed while he was flying at 30,000 feet. He called it High Flight. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter's silvered wings. Sunward I climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you have not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlit silence. Hovering there, I chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the wind-swept heights with easy grace, where never lark or even eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind I've trod the high untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. And that was written by Johnny McGee, American, age 19. Killed in action over England, December the 11th, 1941.
On your transatlantic call, Mr. Coleman.
This is a party line, Bob, and you're one of the parties.
I'm all ear phoned up, Ronnie, waiting for England to talk to Arkansas.
This is Everything for the Boys, calling Sergeant Joseph J. Cleve somewhere in England.
This is Ronald Coleman and Bob Burns somewhere in Hollywood.
Hello, go
Hello.
Ahead.
Hollywood. Hello, Mr. Coleman.
Joe, this is home calling, a great big party line, stretching from Manchester, Mobile, and Memphis to St. Joe.
Hey, you can stop at Memphis, Mr. Coleman. That's home. Out of folks there. What's cooking?
Well, your mom's food, mainly, Joe. Cornbread, biscuits, and fried chicken. Everybody's fine. And your brother, Sam's wife, just had a baby boy. They haven't named him yet. They're leaving that to Uncle Sergeant Joe. Say, how about emailing some suggestions,
Okay, I'll get my whole company to pitch in email. Say, what's new back in America?
Bob, how about rolling out the old Arkansas almanac for the sergeant, eh?
Okay, here's a kind of a digested digest, Joe. The fourth war loan drive has been a terrific success.
They've invented a new plastic bathtub.
A new super battleship, the Wisconsin, was launched.
Steel for war production set a new record high.
And your mama took in three new boarders.
Joe, when we talked to your mother, she told us the one thing she wanted more than anything else was to hear you play Springtime in the Rockies again on the new harmonica she sent you.
Hi, Jack. Can't do a transatlantic solo.
Now go ahead, Joe. Your mom's listening.
Okay. This is you, Mom. And I'm pointing it out right there in the living room. Thank you.
Say, that's real symphonic, Joe.
Hey, Bob, talking about music, you know we've named one of our weapons after your famous bazooka?
Yes, I heard about that shooting bazooka, and I want to tell you I'm awfully honored.
Out of the bazooka, Mr. Burns. Out of music.
Well, now, that's an awfully nice compliment. A lot of people don't think mine does either.
Go ahead, Bob. Remember, this is everything for the boys.
Well, now, come to think of it, I do have a little short number I'd like to dedicate to Herr Schickelgruber.
We're listening, Bob.
Well, here goes.
Say, Joe, tell them in England it's not a foghorn. What do you call that number, Bob?
Well, that's Hitler's funeral march.
Okay, now that's on the GI hit parade.
The way we figure it, Joe, the job you men are undertaking makes you Hitler's official undertakers.
Are those orders, Mr. Coleman?
Yes, sir, Sergeant. From 132 million Americans.
We'll try to carry them out, sir.
We know it, soldier.
Time's up, Mr. Coleman.
Oh, we got to go now.
So long, Joe. Give them the word.
So long, Mister. So long, everybody.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Good luck. Now, you've heard tonight from Sergeant Keyes and from Johnny McGee. I wish you could have heard from another boy I met a few days ago. I don't know his name or where he lived. I only know he was thumbing a ride. I stopped my car and he climbed in and started talking. Talking with a lift and an enthusiasm that left me almost breathless. It is a good clean enthusiasm of youth, bubbling over with the excitement of the future.
Two more weeks, that's all. Two more weeks and I'm in. I won't have to worry about thumbing rides anymore. You see, I'm going to the Army Cadet Corps, a flyer. I just got out of high school, and even though I figured I didn't have a chance to get in, I took the exam, and I passed it. I'd been figuring I'd have to go to work soon as I got out of school, to sort of help support the family. Then I get a break like this. The Army takes care of the family, and I get to fly. I'm going to fly those P-51, the sweetest ships in the air. I got models of them all over the house. That's what I want to fly. But if I don't get to fly one of them, I'll fly something else. The only important thing is, in 2 weeks, I'm in the Army. And, mister, that's for me.
Would you buy an extra bond to back up a boy like that? I did.
Again next week, Autolite invites you to be present for this new global half hour, Everything for the Boys, uniting the home front with the battle fronts overseas. Your host, Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest radio's own leading actress, Miss Mercedes McCambridge, in Arch Oboler's original radio drama, The Women Stayed at Home, dedicated to a pair of fighting Yanks who will speak directly from their distant Pacific base at Fort Moresby on New Guinea Island.
Our thanks to Bob Burns for being with us tonight. Until next week, when we bring you The Women Stayed at Home, this is Ronald Coleman saying good night to you and the boys, and God be with you.
Burns, who appeared tonight through the courtesy of the makers of Lifebuoy, may be heard each Thursday evening on this network. The appearance of Army personnel does not constitute endorsement of the product advertised. This program has come to you from Hollywood and England. This is the National Broadcasting Company.